Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight's theme is a tribute to anti-racist action. And there is a ton of music and recordings, so I'm going to try to shut up on a regular basis and get back to the music. And we'll have video reviews, plugs, things going on, news, some great links, some great discussion on racism as it is today, and the people who are resisting it, and a lot of incredible tunes, including many very pertinent to the theme. How ready are we? Okay, so this is from, I'm not sure what year, I think 1971. The band is Three Dog Night, and this song is called Black and White.
Black, the child is white.
when Johnny Rotten began to make records after the demise of the Sex Pistols under his birth name, John Lydon. His first band was called Public Image, and this is from their first release called First Issue. The songs, of course, are in wrong order on the packaging, and you know how much that pisses off the Reverend. So, if the right track is queued up, this is called Religion.
Stained glass windows keep the cold outside, while the hypocrites hide inside, with the lies of statues in their minds, where the Christian religion made them blind, where they hide and pray to the god of a bitch spelt backwards is dog, not for one race, one creed, one world, but for money, effective, absurd. Do you pray to the Holy Ghost when you suck your host? Do you read who's dead in the Irish Post? Do you give away the cash you can't afford on bended knees and pray to the Lord? Fat pig priest, sanctimonious smiles. He takes the money, you take the lies. This is religion and Jesus Christ. This is religion cheaply priced. This is Bibles full of libel. This is sin in eternal hymn. This is what they've done. This is your religion. The apostles were 11. Now there's a sod in heaven. This is religion. There's a liar on the altar. The sermon never falter. This is religion. Your religion.
Okay, you heard Big Dipper doing Homo Sapien from the Freedom of Choice, Pro-Choice Benefit CD. That is a cover from an old Peter Shelley ex-Buzzcock endeavor. Before Homo Sapien, you heard Public Image Limited doing Religion. The Clash did White Riot and started off with Three Dog Night doing Black and White. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on every Sunday night from 9 to 11 Eastern Time, USA, at RadioVolta.org, and relay broadcast live at InfidelGuy.com, and from 9 to 11 without any overtime, which may happen at Radio Volta. The show is rebroadcast at InfidelGuy.com throughout the week. There is a new Reverend Bookburn webpage, so in addition to the Radio Volta DJ pages, the Reverend Is In page, the new one is at FullGospelRanch.com/RevBookburn, and my new email is RevBookburn, as one word, RevBookburn@FullGospelRanch.com. Pastor Tammy Lynn Jessup is the webmaster at the new Reverend page, and in time for tonight's show are links like the One People's Project and Anti-Racist Action itself. So if you go there right now, you can check out those pages. And if you go back to that page later tonight, you can get last week's playlist. So if you're not on the Reverend Bookburn mailing list, you can see the playlists of several shows and pretty much every show that's about to happen for as long as we have independent broadcasting before it is shit-canned by either the censors, the Ayatollah Ashcraft Patriot Act crowd, or by the corporate music industry that wants to pass that royalty rate law still. And you can stay afloat of that at SaveInternetRadio.org. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic fundamentalist or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. Next week on The Reverend Is In, the theme will be Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy, and that will be a show to remember. And I'm looking for a couple of songs, so those who help me find songs, Wooden Shoe Books and Records on 5th Street, right off of South Street in Philadelphia, Lord Jesus at eBay, Jesus at voicenet.com, Full Circle Records in Blackwood, New Jersey, all very, very helpful people to the show, and about half a dozen regular listeners and longtime listeners. Please help me find a release by the Capital Steps, a humor group that reworks an old John Denver song. I think it would be very well in keeping with the theme, Charles Manson and his role in U.S. foreign policy, next week's show, by playing Thank God I'm a Contra Boy. That's a must. So we're going to play a lot of Contra-related songs and other people whom were very helter-skelter-oriented, massacring thousands of civilians. And even though Manson was small potatoes and Bush League, if you will, in the human slaughter department, he managed to generate a whole lot of publicity. So we're going to talk not only about him and there'll be all kinds of Manson lore and music, but also the people who obviously were well influenced by him, the American Christian Taliban, the Christian Broadcasting Network, anti-abortion terrorists, bombers, shooters, what have you, hate crimes perpetrators, war criminals, torturers, and Contra mercenary armies around the world, directed by Reagan and all of his successors. That'll be a good show next week on August 18th. The show is not canceled. The plans that were to happen, and I guess I may as well tell you, since the surprise is gone, was the Reverend was going to go to L.A. and be on the Dr. Susan Block show, drsusanblock.com, or actually Radio Susie, radiosusie1.com, and hang out with Pastor Tammy Lynn Jessup and associates at Full Gospel Ranch, and meet the guy doing the documentary Bible Madness, or who did the documentary Bible Madness, BibleMadness.com, and all kinds of other stuff. But that is not happening. I believe Pastor Tammy is still going to be a guest, and Dwayne from Bible Madness on Dr. Susie's show next Saturday night, August 17th. And if you missed last week's show, the Reverend and Pastor Tammy were both call-in people during the August 3rd show. And the invitation is standing, so at some point I'll be out there. And Kiki Dare has also agreed to a cassette interview. So I'll be bringing back some surprises and goodies, and not surprises, since I just blabbed two of them. Tonight's theme is a tribute to anti-racist action, and it's already been generating a lot of attention. My friend Daryl from One People's Project, onepeoplesproject.com, has been announcing this specific evening show, and has already gotten reactions from the white supremacy crowd, who went to the new Reverend Bookburn site. And at the Full Gospel Ranch site, there is also a message board, including a message board from the Reverend part of the site. And one of these white power guys wrote, I haven't responded to it, but he wrote this anti-tribute to ARA message. Got a couple of responses. It got a lot of views, but not a whole lot of people responded to him. And I haven't responded to him, although I'll comment later about his stellar genius message on the message board. But it's gotten a lot of attention. One People's Project has announced it, and I think a lot of ARA people are aware of tonight's show. So hopefully they're tuning in, and hopefully they're going to get a nice battery recharge from this tribute and appreciation of them. Anti-Racist Action is an organization that is not merely anti-racism, but they're very courageous people who are the front lines. They are the people who are willing to confront these violent knucklehead groups in the streets, and they have done it consistently. They've done it in most parts of North America and beyond, actually. And they've not only taken a lot of heat from the Nazi types, but they've gotten shit from people who definitely had no business attacking them and even sabotaging them. A local buffoon who is the head of the Anti-Defamation League in the Philadelphia area even sabotaged a benefit concert and had the place closed down. This is something that I objected to at the time and still do. If he wants to believe that the only way to oppose racism is to stay out of the streets and send people like himself money for new suits and swimming pools and whatever else, that's fine. And if people want to support that kind of trip, that's okay. But there is also room for the people who refuse to let a small sector of society abuse anyone, which hate groups certainly do. The level of violence, no matter what their rhetoric or tone is, their level of violence of the last 30 years and beyond is well documented, indisputable, and it is very appropriate, in the opinion of this reverend, to express a gratitude for those who are willing to say, you cannot abuse any of the targeted groups that are victimized by your hate and racism. And not everyone can do that. Not everyone can deal with fascists in the streets. Not everyone can counter the homophobes or do community patrols. Not everyone can deal with abusers of women or rapists. Not everyone can go after the American Christian Taliban, especially their attack dogs at the abortion clinics front lines. Clinic defense, anti-fascist action of any kind is not for everybody, and that's okay. But it's not okay, in my view, to attack him or to criticize any group that will go beyond where you set your own limits. So if you are going to support the office anti-racism people, maybe, you know, $5 for every 100 you would donate, or if you donate less than 100 to the big groups, still throw over like $5 or $10 to a group like Anti-Racist Action or OnePeoplesProject.com. I would say that that is a contribution, as well as buying the benefit CD that benefits Anti-Racist Action, and at the very least refraining from attacking them and joining the chorus of some who blast their brave tactics. So who are these white power people? Let's see. Well, we discussed that a little bit because recently a Nazi leader and author, William Pierce, died, and we've acknowledged that the last couple of weeks and played him songs, including songs from the 60s musical Hair that celebrate interracial sex and other choice songs. And there's some real goodies tonight that are going to go out to these types. Who are the white power people? A good comparison can be similar to the sociopaths that make up the anti-abortion movement, similar to the people who are very easily manipulated, people who can't think for themselves, people who need a strong male leader, people who need a sick and extreme leader, people who need to be told what to do and what to think, people who are manipulable, people who read a book like William Pierce's The Turner Diaries or Charles Colson's Gideon's Torch, and people like Timothy McVeigh, people like the militias, people like a lot of the racist version of skinhead groups, etc. And they are, for the most part, for lack of a better word, victims of the six sociopaths who are their leaders and who are manipulating them, just like any religious leader or cult leader. Big difference there between those two. They are the people who end up being cannon fodder for said leaders. They provide them with a living. They spare them from having to work or do anything truly significant. They are manipulated by incident of the month or enemy of the month. And in addition to being the stooges of sociopathic leaders, they are also the ultimate byproducts, the Frankensteins, if you will, of the ugliest and most mythological portions of this very culture. So similar to Charles Manson, who is a part of the theme next week, the racism, the biblical programming, the hate, the myths and stereotypes, they are the ultimate affected by bullshit myths. They are the ultimate manifestations of the hate and the injustices of this culture. So if we're manipulated by Bush's Taliban clone friends and the clergy and policy makers who are racists, who are anti-poor, who are anti-people, who are anti-labor, who are running things for their benefit and turning the Bush regime and congressional politicians into corporate hoes while they're carving up the world and decimating the Constitution or what's left of it or even the illusion of it. And while they are screwing everybody and not in a fun way, the people who are the most affected by all stereotypes, myths, scapegoats, comprise of the extreme groups, whether it be the cults, the Quraysh people, or the white power organizations. Many of the skinhead element from the early punk days have long changed, whether they went to prison or not. It's interesting to this reverend that a female Jewish friend who grew up with a lot of the local former Nazi brand of skinheads kept up with their whereabouts. They knew her even in their heyday. They stayed friends with her, which was kind of funny. And she has provided the Reverend with information in the last 5 and 6 years since we first met. And I was actually amused by how many of them let the pendulum swing the other way. How many were in interracial relationships? How many were in gay relationships? How many got into party scenes and rave scenes and goth scenes and everything that was pretty much their opposite? And I thought that was a good thing, not just for the obvious reasons that they stopped being Nazis, but I thought it was healthy for people to let the pendulum swing away from the direction they're in and find that balance, which in actuality is the way we naturally are. We need balance and we need a healthy life. And if somebody is all of one thing, all an activist or all a pleasure scene person or all a workaholic or anything like it, chances are they're going to burn out and pay the price internally for a lack of balance in their life. Yet we're meant for pleasure as well as being connected to the world at large and the world's peoples and advocating for humanity. And so when the pendulum swings for them, chances are they'll become their own opposites. And of course you can see that the smartest of them will evolve somewhat and move on, and they'll realize that their leaders are what they really are, which is, for all the talk of white supremacy and master racism, that actually their leaders are pretty much the rock bottom of the Caucasian world. And and that their own peers are the greatest threat to them, not some invisible enemy, but chances are they'll be snuffed or beaten or snitched on or purged or ripped off or scammed by their own groups. And enough of that will, of course, cause this new wave of people to eventually break off. So only the most sociopathic and dependent on leaders will stay in it for life. And, of course, the hypocrites show that a lot of them are already comparable to the Christian Broadcasting Network types and the Family Values congressmen who were outed as having affairs during the impeachment trial, the moral crusading religious right-wing preachers, insofar as maybe not through affairs and the same exact kinds of stories, but considering that they're so anti-race mixing and interracial relationships and interracial sex, they've even been on their own little chat areas talking about how attracted they are to whoever, Shakira or Moesha and what have you. And I understand that, and I think that is healthy. And also I think it's kind of liberating. I think it's going to plant the seeds, because when you hear racist bullshit talk and you're conditioning, well, I'll tell you in my case what it was. It wasn't from immediate family, thank Brian, but it was from extended bloods. And a part of the conditioning from them, in addition to all the usual and predictable bullshit, was that the great white people, our great white race, does not feel attraction for people who are not white. And so trying to condition this kind of bullshit, my chair that has wheels on it just went on Marlon the Great Engineer's foot, hence the apology. trying to condition somebody with that kind of bullshit, when they were telling the young reverend about how there's no attraction between the races and that, you know, blah, 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 you never attract, you never feel like you want to date or marry one. But this is before that was even a part of my life. But that kind of conditioning was there. And then when they showed an old video of the Ike and Tina Turner Review doing their kick-ass version of Proud Mary with the three Ikeettes dancing in the background, there was a certain anatomical change that was happening in the young reverend's body that contrasted all the conditioning and programming that was set up by white racists that were in my extended family. And so I'm thinking, well, this is weird. They said I would never feel this way. But what can you say when you're seeing Tina Turner and the Ikeettes? So when these people are talking about white power and white purity, as if there is such a thing, and I think we all started out from like four races anyway since the beginning of the species, and all these knuckleheads probably have some descendancy from the races they purport to hate, because their ancestors were not only conquerors and colonialists and slave masters and Christian supremacists and racists, but they were also rapists. And that's an important point, because with all the race mixing, as these people would put it, chances are they have it in their own bloodline. And so let these people Google at Shakira and others, because that just might be a useful step in deprogramming them from the levels they're at now, at believing in myths and bullshit. And we're going to do an interracial sexual mental exercise later, but I don't want to jump the gun. And we're going to stick a mental image in the minds of racists that they will not be able to avoid if they're tuning into the show, and won't be able to shake out of their heads once that happens. Okay, let's see. I'm talked out. But anyway, go to the boards of the new Reverend Bookburn webpage if you want to see what the White Power dude wrote. It's fullgospelranch.com/revbookburn, and then message boards. And later on tonight, you'll see last week's playlist if you want to. Okay, oh, I didn't respond to the guy who wrote the message. He was saying how horrible it was that this show was going to have a tribute to anti-racist action and why he felt that way. And most of his commentary doesn't warrant a response to. One point that was unexpected and that I feel maybe does deserve a little commentary is saying something like, the people in ARA are no friend of soap. And besides the obvious questions that raises, like, how the fuck would you know? And how close do you get to them? I thought, well, like, that what they were doing was they were picking everything possible, or this one person was picking every argument possible that he could throw out about why he thought ARA was so terrible. This White Power dude. And threw into the mix and alleged a remark about ARA people not being clean. And I thought, well, first of all, the Reverend has never condoned 100% of everything about anybody. No matter what kind of circles it is, political or free thought or the hemp scenes or the sex scenes or wherever, chances are there's differences between myself and them. I'm not fully a part of anything. I think for myself. I live for myself. I choose to be a part of causes, and I choose to be a part of independent media. But that's where it ends. So I feel solidarity towards many, but I feel under the leadership or manipulation of none. But if there are ARA people who need soap, I don't condone that. I would paraphrase my Christian mother, who would say something to the effect of, wash it before you eat it. And I think we don't have to speak any more on that subject. So, yes, wash it before you eat it, or wash it before somebody else eats it. So, if anybody from any circle of life, of any component of society or the underground scenes, needs to hear that, then let me encourage you to wash anything that may be eaten. And plus, we'll make this soap advocate from my message board much happier. And I'm definitely talked out. So, I'm going to go back to the early days of punk. This is from the late 70s in England. The band is called The Pigs, and the song goes out to the English Nazis, known as the National Front, and the name of the song is National Front.
Apologies from Marlon the Engineer.
National Front, I've got it all wrong. American flag, when they blame the flag. Bye. and lonely jail. Mexican Americans don't like to get up early in the morning, but they have to, so they do it real slow. Mexican Americans love education, so they go to night school and they take Spanish and get a B. Mexican Americans love their nanas and their nonos and their ninas and their ninos. Nanu, nanu, nina, nono. Mexican Americans don't like to go to the movies where the dude has to wear contact lenses to make his blue eyes brown. I'm gonna make my brown eyes blue.
Okay, gonna play a song from a New York band from the 80s called Reagan Youth. This is called I Hate Hate. Okay, I want to encourage people to go to the ARA's website, which is, I have it because it's in this CD, aranet.org. Anti-racist action, aranet.org. And also Daryl's page, onepeoplesproject.com. And one thing you can check out is the August 24th anti-racist action that is coming up in Washington, D.C. And one, to encourage people to support that in any way you can, including those who are compelled to participate in anti-racist actions, but to support them in any way. One other possibility for supporting ARA is to go to their website and see how one can purchase the CD that you are about to hear. This is from, I think, 98 or 99. It's not that old. It's a CD that is a benefit for anti-racist action entitled Stop Racism. And there's a whole lot of great material, so it's even hard to choose what to play from it. But I will choose and I will play some of this, hopefully some more if there's time at the end. After this weird spoken thing, you're going to hear a song by Better Than a Thousand, and the track is Poison in Your Brain.
Live in Ken's bathroom, take one.
Something very wrong here. You've made a terrible mistake. I'm made out of steel. You understand that I'm made out of steel?
Especially for you, you can help us sing along, because DC has a little pride here. I mean, after all, it is our nation's capital. It goes to something like this: East Coast, fuck you. It's about pizza and things we like
hey,
about
actually,
the East Coast.
At this juncture, I'd also like to mention ARA over there. Pick up some of their shit. Anti-racist action. It's good to have some fucking somebody with some brains.
Yeah, maybe we should dedicate this one to Josh, right? He's home. His friend's making a video for him. He's got cancer because he can't
man.
Come to the show.
Everybody
so
say what's up
this one goes
to
out
Josh,
to Josh.
Man.
Is that the guy right there? All right, Josh.
Yo, to the crowd,
what's up?
Right there.
There he goes.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
What's up, Josh?
So they're recording this show, and they're taking a song and putting it on an ARA compilation. I think it should be this one. All this right. may so, be the one, right?
This song's called East Coast Fuck You. Let's hear some DC Pride.
East Coast Fuck You! 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 East Coast Fuck You!
Like it. Where will he go next? This phantom from another time, this resurrected ghost of a previous nightmare. Chicago, Los Angeles, Miami, Florida, Vincennes, Indiana, Syracuse, New York. Any place, every place. Where there's hate, where there's prejudice, where there's bigotry. He's alive. He's alive so long as these evils exist. Remember that when he comes to your town. Remember it when you hear his voice speaking out through others. Remember it when you hear a name called, a minority attacked, any blind, unreasoning assault on a people or any human being. He's alive because through these things, we keep him alive.
Wake up, nice light. This is the day that I've been looking for. I try to wake up mom and dad so I can open up my presents, yeah, yeah. Pictures. Music, something gets you kind of started. Think about the homeless man. Is he getting fed today now? And I can't wait, let's be quick. Wanna see what presents I got. I've been good this year. I've been so good this year now. Family singing, like the smile show on my face. Homeless, hungry still. I complain about the things I don't have. Justice. Feelings really need to come together. Fight for our minds to be clear enough to see the problem. And I can't wait, let's be quick. Wanna see what presents I got. I've been good this year. I've been so good this year now.
Okay, you heard three songs from Stop Racism, a benefit CD for anti-racist action. That was Mike Park doing Justice. Before that, the Bouncing Souls did East Coast Fuck You. The Suicide Machines did Green World. Better Than a Thousand did Poison in Your Brain. Reagan Youth did I Hate Hate. Cheech and Chong did Mexican Americans from their second film, Cheech and Chong's Next Movie, which, of course, wasn't as good as the first one, Up in Smoke, but that song is a classic. The Toys did Hey, Uncle Sam, Leave Us Pot Smokers Alone, and started off with The Pigs from 1977 doing National Front. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight's theme, if you tuned in late, is a tribute to anti-racist action. And I think I'm trying to answer all the questions that I'm expecting to get in advance. So, and some things that I've already had in discussions. I've been talking about the show with a lot of friends. I visited friends this afternoon. And then just before the show, I ran into some, even this morning, and got a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts, and things that came out in my head, even though they had nothing to do with some of the discussions I got into with familiars. But I want to kind of comment on things as I think of them and have written them. Yes, the white racists are, in my view, as I said earlier, the ultimate Frankensteins of the myths and stereotypes and injustices of this culture. So if they blame things on welfare moms, on people of color, of gay people, of erotic or adult entertainers of any kind, whatever the scapegoat of the month is, these are the ultimate attack dogs and psychos that emerge from it, comparable to the anti-abortion mobs and similar hysteria groups. So the symptoms are obvious, and I thought there's some great examples of some of the origins of these things. One is a very racist university, funny enough, that Ayatollah Ashcraft, as Dr. Susie calls him, John Ashcroft, who's not only a Christian supremacist, but if you didn't know this, he has an honorary degree from the religious and racist institution known as Bob Jones University. And of course, that university got a lot of media attention because George W. Numbnuts, Dirty Bomb Executioner, Corporate Ho, Enron Stooge, 9/11 cover-upper, crime family member Bush spoke there when he was on the campaign trail in 2000. It's a campus that has had most of prominent racists and theocratic Christian supremacists do public speaking appearances there. I'm sure they'll have Ann Coulter there if they haven't already. And W. Numbnuts went there. I believe by the time he was there, they still had that ban on interracial dating as a part of their policy. And it's pretty horrible. But when you look and see that the biggest assholes of this nation, those who are in the American Christian Taliban and those who are in the Bush regime and comparable ilk, that they are setting the tone at the top for not just Christian supremacy, but also racism, for anti-women views and policies that affect everybody, as well as all of their other policies of injustice. Then you can understand why there would be a portion, especially in these flag-waving days of hysteria post-September 11th, where people are manipulated by the wing nuts who are representative of the very top of this nation, who are corporate hoes and thoroughly linked to the biggest scumbags in the business world, like Enron and WorldCom and Adelphia, etc. So while people are busy dividing themselves over race, over gender, over sexual orientation, over umpteen other things, class distinctions, etc., the real winners are the racist and greedy and ultimate criminals and ultimate dirtbags of the nation, the people who run corporate America and pull the strings on the two major political parties and set policy for everybody, including labor and environmental policies. And contrary to the image by the racist mouthpieces that the business world is run by Jews, in actuality, it's people who are just like them. It is a group of people who believe themselves to be superior. The Bush crowd, the corporate America crowd, the people who believe they're better, who deserve it all, who it's okay if they enslave or set up child labor and sweatshop labor places around the world, if they decimate the environment, if they screw the workers, if they screw the pensions and investments and savings of entire chunks of people, if they rip off the nation and sabotage the economic infrastructure and commit crimes that are tens of thousands of times greater than the small-scale robberies that net some people 20 years. So what the fuck do these people deserve, prison sentence-wise? When you look at them and you see that they are the Christian supremacists, the white supremacists, and, of course, the rich supremacists, then you see how people are duped into scapegoating other segments of society and letting the powers that be continue to win over all others. Now we're going to do the mental exercise. This is for, not quite yet, this is for the white power people who are listening, because some of them are. They found out about it from, I guess, trolling the OnePeople'sProject.com site and posting on the board after Daryl made the announcement of this show coming up. And since some of them are undoubtedly listening, I know that you are trying to repress some of your erotic interracial fantasies, and that even though you guys talk to each other about how hot Shakira is, and she is, and whoever else, Moesha, that at the same time you try to suppress that as evil and bad, and I must not think these thoughts, similar to the followers of leaders in the American Christian Taliban. But I am going to say the opposite to you. I'm going to encourage those deep, dark, hidden thoughts. And I'm going to ask you to do this tonight. And even if you don't want to, your brain is going to do this anyway after hearing me say this, possibly when you're lying half awake, either just before going to sleep or just after waking up. And that is for you to visualize the entire sexual scenario between yourself and Shakira. Shakira, if there is any way in this world that you have become aware of the show and tuned in tonight, I apologize if I am giving you mental imagery of being in a bed with some white suspender braces wearing racist knucklehead who probably has the pleasing ability of nothing, and is, of course, a male supremacist as well. And you can just imagine the pleasure there. But for the white power people who have already crossed over that line in their heads, I'm going to encourage you to visualize the entire scenario from the moment you and Shakira are in the same room, or you and any other person, Moesha, whoever, go into the same room, and then you play the entire scenario in your head, comparable to the erotic video industry, and play the whole scene all the way to the end, and let that image stay in your head until the day when you wake up and say, I was so stupid to listen to these people. Allow me to be distracted from the realities of this world and subject myself as well as others to hate. And this is to help you and everyone else in your interracial sexual scenarios. And not everybody has to have interracial sex, and not everybody has to look for it, but fantasy and attraction is natural, and if somebody is being natural in their own life, then they will allow themselves to feel attraction to anybody whom they are oriented towards feeling attracted to, including people from other races. We're going to go back a little ways to the days of good old Two Live Crew, This is from As Nasty As They Wanna Be, and we're going to play the nasty version. This song is called Me So Horny.
What do we get for $10? Everything you want. Everything. Everything.
This is a track by Tin Machine. which was David Bowie's band in the late 80s. This is from the 1989 A Tin Machine CD. It's about the racist skinheads in England, and the track is called Under the God.
cinnamon and two or three egg whites. A half a stick of butter melted. Stick it all in a bowl, baby. Stir it with a wooden spoon. Mix in a cup of flour. You'll be in heaven soon. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of vitamins and good for you. So suck on my balls. Want a cup of unsweetened chocolate and a half a cup of brandy. Then throw in a bag or two of sugar and just a pinch of vanilla. Read up the cookie sheet, 'cause I hate when my balls stick. Then preheat the oven to 350 and give the spoon a lick. Ever seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick me up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. You're packed full of goodness. High in fiber. Hey, wait a minute. What's that smell? Smell like something burning. Well, that don't confront me none. Long as I get my rent paid on Friday. Babe, you better get back in the kitchen. 'Cause I got a sneaking suspicion. Oh, man, baby. Baby, you just burned my balls. Thank you. Here's a talented group of youngsters that call themselves Rancid.
California sun has sunk. Banana Mills, here comes the night.
Okay, you heard the chef from South Park singing Chocolate Salty Balls. P.S. I Love You. 7 seconds did Racism Sucks. Tin Machine did Under the God and started off with Two Live Crew doing Me So Horny. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight's theme is a tribute to anti-racist action. Next week, the theme is Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy, and there will be some great music to fit that theme as well. Let's see. In a couple of minutes, Asshole of the Week, some plugs. If you do care about the people who really are responsible for all that is fucked up and ugly in this world, you might want to watch the Antics and Now Ever Documented Crime Activity by some of the best friends and closest contributors of the Bush regime from corporate America at CorpWatch, CorpWatch, CorpWatch.org. And I believe that's also linked at the new Reverend Bookburn page that Pastor Tammy is updating as we speak at fullgospelranch.com/RevBookburn. CorpWatch.org. Also, for Jello Biafra's spoken word CDs, especially recommended the last two, The Big Kaboom Part 1 about September 11th and Become the Media, as well as musical collaborations between Jello and other acts, as well as other bands, including a new line of re-released on CD classics from the Butthole Surfers. That'll be good. When you hear me play stuff like that, it's from an ancient record, like the Barbecue Pope song and Local Abortion Technician. Let's see. The Godless Americans March is this autumn, and that can be checked out online at godlessamericans.com. Please remember, if you're just tuning in, to go to onepeoplesproject.com and check out the anti-racist action coming up on August 24th in D.C. And you can also check out anti-racist action at aranet.org. And you can also order the Stop Racism benefit CD. Some great new stickers and updates at the very hilarious gwbush.com website, gwbush.com, to check out the 2003 advanced planning of the Million Marijuana March. You can go to groups.yahoo.com/group/Million Marijuana March, and that will be in the playlist. So when you get that, it'll be a link. If you are new, write to me, and you can either give feedback, request songs, or ask for the Notorious playlist, which has not just all the songs, but also all of the points of discussion and all the links for things that were plugged or articles referred to. Let's see, godlessamericans.org. Write Rev Bookburn at fullgospelranch.com. The People's Strike is this autumn, and information is at abolishthebank.org. And of interest to anti-racists, the Delete the Border action is next weekend. And that's a three-day conference and camp and entertainment and computer area, camping on a beach, and all kinds of great stuff. You can check that out at borderhack.org. The Reverend's good friend, Jennifer Hunter, is online. This is an online domination service and telephone dom service of Ivy League educated dominatrixes. Jennifer Hunter is a personal friend of the Reverend and has been invaluable throughout the last 9 months of hardcore medical disaster and other life sucky kinds of stuff. So I know she's a great person and not a ripoff. So if it's your scene, or if you're into exploring, go to Jennifer Hunter Consulting or call 215-627-JEN, 215-627-JENN, and be sure to say the Reverend sent you. And now there's even more incentive to say the Reverend sent you, because Jennifer Hunter is contemplating being a live guest on this show, but needs incentives. So if you write to me, or if you like the show, or if you really want a wild show, or at the very least an interesting show with Jennifer Hunter as a live guest, email me so I can forward it to her, or contact her at Jennifer Hunter Consulting if there's a email link, and say, yes, we'd love to hear you on Reverend Bookburn's show, and that will just be awesome. And chances are she'll respond. So if I can be like how I project her to be at work, which is behavior I've never seen, but I'm imagining something like, so go to her website, you little worm, and check out Jennifer Hunter Consulting and let it be known that you want your mistress to be on the Reverend's cyber radio show. JenniferHunterConsulting.com. Let's see. Jelly Biafra and all those records at AlternativeTentacles.com. And be sure to order the new benefit for Afghan women called Dropping Food on Their Heads is Not Enough, a benefit for RAWA, the Women's Movement of Afghanistan, which includes a large sticker of Osama and Bush, probably two half-brothers for all we know. And it says, both want war, both unelected. Please be sure to remember to boycott the ex-dead Kennedys, which is little more than a bad karaoke band, with a new lead singer. How much more of a joke can that be? But yeah, they're running around in the name of the dead Kennedys, kind of like the Monkees tour that's going around. And just when you thought the corporate mall versions of Woodstock twice in the 90s was the ultimate joke, a punk version is about to happen, a three-day thing that's like $80 a day, a punk fest holiday in the sun, and I guess a lot of people who don't really know that much about punk will actually contribute to such a corporate horror. And if the event wasn't a joke enough, they are also going to have, on the final day, the corporate scab Dead Kennedys. And please remember that to boycott their remastered CDs that are not on Alternative Tentacles. And the Reverend's reward is still on. So if you pie one or more members of the ex-Dead Kennedys, and if you are going to this rip-off bullshit holiday in the sun thing, then you can get something out of it. You get a whole show to yourself, your dedications, or even a theme, as long as it's reasonable. And one per member that you pie, up to four. And if you don't have a pie, if you're at this festival thing, anything soft and harmless and biodegradable, food products, slop, water ice, whatever, and then let me know that you did that. Let's see, Charlton Heston has announced that he has Alzheimer's. While this individual is less insane than Reagan, who was a mass murderer who killed millions and has blood from virtually every continent on his hands through his Contra helter-skelter wars, his training and support of the Contras, his training and build-up of Al-Qaeda, during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, and so many others. Charlton Heston, of course, could never have, in a lifetime, become as insane as Reagan was, even before his Alzheimer's came into full blossom, even though Heston was the head of the NRA. So I don't want to worry you, but Charlton Heston, who is whacked, is going through Alzheimer's and has assault rifles. So, fair warning, if you're a neighbor of Charlton Heston's, I would take measures and get security systems and what have you, just to be on the safe side. Video reviews. An old anti-racist classic that actually had William Shatner before the Star Trek days, a black and white film, ironically, called Shame. I think it's a Roger Corman film. Recommended as Shame. And believe it or not, the Twilight Zone movie, which broke down into four segments, and actually the whole thing is good, but the first part has the late Vic Morrow portraying a racist, ignoroid, and very, very excellent and brilliant video, Twilight Zone, the movie, and very entertaining. And then one I always talk about, but can't recommend it enough times, A Time to Kill, the video version, not television. I made a mistake last week when I referred to The Naked Truth, which is The Naked Truth Exposing the Deceptions About the Origins of Modern Religions. And you can email if you're really interested in that and want assistance in finding it. And, of course, the tape I cannot get enough of. And somebody who eventually will probably get a cassette interview of when I do get out west and appear on Dr. Susie's show and interview Kiki Dare. Bridget Kirkhove, erotic film star, is the star with her husband, Skeeter, of Bongs and Thongs. If you like hemp or if you like porn, you'll like the tape. If you like both, you will love the tape. It will blow you away. It is made in their home. They do a lot of plugs for Heads magazine, which I thought was pretty cool. It's very steamy, so if you're not a moral crusader or an anti-drug or Derek stooge, and if you don't believe that porn causes violence and acne and flat tires and mudslides and whatever the fuck else, it would be very enjoyable. Bongs and Thongs Volume 1, with possible sequels, but under another name, according to Bridget. And you can find her yourself at bkmax.com. Coming up on Dr. Susan Block, drsusanblock.com, and RadioSusie1.com, Melanie's Mammaries, The Art of Seduction, Aphrodisiac Time, and Bacchanal France. And, of course, at drsusanblock.com, under What's New, a lot of articles on the corporate criminals and anti-sex Taliban and Bush friends and all-around assholes known as the Riggis family, John Riggis and his sons, who are part of Adelphia, the cable TV monopolists and censors, and people who directly censor Dr. Block, especially after her bondage show. So, of course, it's with no small level of amusement that we got to see the Riggis boys paraded in handcuffs in front of the world's television cameras. Let's see, Full Gospel Ranch, fullgospelranch.com, Parlor, Parlor Archives, Pastor Tammy Lynn Jessup's great exchange with a Nigerian scammer named Fun Show, The Baby Claudie Link, the hilarious Reverend Jimmy Swaggart crying graphic, the message boards and the great Biblical America game that's at the message boards, and, of course, the new Reverend Bookburn page, the Freedom from Theocracy Awards, and the Reverend Bookburn page. A really hilarious article from The Onion. It's an ancient issue right after the inauguration, following the coup of the criminal Bush regime. TheOnion.com/onion3701/bush_nightmare.html. And, a great feature story with pictures of W. Numbnuts Dirty Bomb Bush. TheOnion.com/onion3701/bush_nightmare.html. To support Mark and Susie Wall, the married couple charged with prostitution for their sexual technique seminars and workshops, or to check out their video line, including the erotic version of Star Wars, which I imagine would involve big laser guns, you can go to videoalt.com, videoalt.com. Oh, enough with the plugs. Article at The Nation, Bubble Capitalism at thenation.com, at truthout.org, Bush rolls back rules on privacy of medical data. From Arianna Huffington, ArianaOnline.com, in columns, Holding Dick Cheney Accountable. Holding Dick Cheney Accountable by Arianna Huffington. Email from the Pie Man, so there's no link, so you'll just have to say that you want this by email. Will the Woodstock Pilgrims be landing? by Steve Israel. That was from August 7th. The Pie Man's support page for the Imprisoned Rainbow Gathering people. PieMan.org/dinnerwithGarrick. PieMan.org/dinnerwithGarrick. The Harm Reduction Conference in December will feature keynote speaker Dr. Joycelyn Elders. That alone will be worth it, but there will be a couple of days of workshops and presentations sponsored by the Harm Reduction Coalition, AIDS service providers, needle exchange organizations, hepatitis C support groups, Dance Safe, and Dan Zine. Information, harmreduction.org. Okay.
Are you ready over there?
Let's see. I think that's practically every plug, so... Yes, I want to encourage also white power females to... Since it's only a matter of time before the majority of you and the majority of your peers leave it, to not breed with these people. If you find yourself pregnant, you can get help from pretty much anybody, certainly any of us or anyone I know, to terminate the fetus. It's your choice, but I'm really hoping you'll consider doing just that. And let's see, it's your choice, of course. But rather than be forever locked with the knucklehead who is sharing your current stage of life of hatred, let's see. Are you ready? It's getting to be that time again. August 11th, 2002, at the Reverend is in, RadioVolta.org and InfidelGuy.com. It's time for Asshole of the Week. Asshole of the Week is John Stakakos. He is the boyfriend, ex-boyfriend of Tanya Myers. He has threatened her since she has become pregnant with physical harm, and then took her to court as an attempt to stop her from obtaining an abortion. An original judge, who was an asshole, and the intended target of Asshole of the Week last week, issued an injunction against her, which was overruled by Judge Michael Conahan. The Reverend has mistakenly named him as the judge who issued the injunction against Tanya and declared him Asshole of the Week last week, but that was a mistaken identity, or mistaken identity, as they say on Rocky and Bullwinkle. So, the Reverend apologizes to Judge Michael Conahan, who is not an asshole, but the judge before him was an asshole for issuing an injunction against Tanya Myers, but that was last week's Asshole of the Week. The boyfriend himself, who took her to court, although he was just overruled, he's still an asshole for doing it, is John Stakakos, and the fallout from his actions are being felt away from Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, to Florida. And an article was brought to my attention by Marlon, the great engineer, who is right here and has just turned on the fart sounds for this event. Marlon, you said that something was going on regarding Florida due to the fallout of this case of using the judiciary to stop a woman from exercising her legitimate right, in contrast to and blatant disregard to legal precedent, yes?
Yes. I was, forgive me, listening to NPR the other day.
We'll forgive you for that.
Yes. And I heard this story regarding Florida adoption laws requiring publication of the mother's name and city of residence, even in cases of rape or incest. And if she wishes to give her child up for adoption. And this information it's published is theoretically supposed to give the father a chance to contest the adoption or have some say in it. But let me read a bit from this new article I downloaded off the internet. It's from crosswalk.com news channel. If you wish to have the complete URL, you're just going to have to instant message me, and I'll gladly give it to you later. But anyway, here we go. A Florida adoption law requiring publication of the mother's name and city of residence, even in, maybe I'll just lower the sound here. Even in cases of rape or incest, violates her legal right to privacy, according to plaintiffs who are challenging the 2001 law. I think that's really harmful to the privacy concerns and safety of women, said Florida lawyer Lynn Waxman, who is representing an unnamed woman in a lawsuit against the state. I'm skipping ahead here. By requiring public notification of the mother's name and other personal information, Florida lawmakers hoped that more biological fathers would learn about children they fathered in case they wanted to any say in that child's upbringing. Now I'm going to interject here that if they were responsible enough to be an active father for a child, perhaps they would still be around, you know. I mean, if they don't care, then let them not care and let the child have a happy life in an adopted family.
Well, you know that the males who are in these kinds of litigation suits are probably the biggest assholes of the male gender, which is quite an accomplishment. But
and not someone I would like to raise me.
Yeah, lucky
in
kid
fact,
to be around that dad.
In fact, would it be inappropriate to give a personal example?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I was the oldest child in my family until I was 14. Mm-hmm. Because then I found out that I had an older sister. Who, if she was raised by her biological father, would have had a very unhappy life. We won't go into why, but her father wasn't a very nice man. And we will, you know, but because she was given up for adoption and her father had no say about this, she had a very happy life. And we were reunited a number of years ago, probably about 8 years ago, and it was all very happy. I'm sure that there's
cool
exceptions to this, but
that's all right.
You know,
that's
some people might have had a good experience with having an adopted sibling, you know. And even if I never got in touch with her, well, hey, I wouldn't have known that she had a happy life, but she did. Now,
cool.
I'm going off on a tangent, but yeah, maybe I'm going a little long.
But thank you for that.
Yeah.
It's good to follow.
But anyway, I encourage people to learn about this issue, and I've gone off on a tangent. But
no, that's it was a good one.
Yeah.
All right. So remember,
I should just state that the notice that has to be published in a newspaper would include the mother's name. Circumstances of the conception, which is what makes this a very heinous and cumbersome invasion of privacy as well.
Right. All right, so Asshole of the Week is John Stakokas, and we're going to follow the Florida case when we get more information about it. Going overtime on RadioVolta.org, very close to saying goodbye to the listeners at InfidelGuy.com, so I want to get a song started. You can write to me, Rev Bookburn at FullGospelRanch.com, and please check out the Reverend Bookburn page, FullGospelRanch.com/Rev Bookburn, which is updated tonight and run by Pastor Tammy Lynn Jessup of Full Gospel Ranch. And next week is Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy. And I'm going to play a song from the 60s. This is by Country Joe and the Fish. And are we ready? The Harlem Song. And any second we'll be playing that. Uh-oh.
There we go.
No, it's one before that.
Okay.
Anyway, stay tuned if you're on Radio Volta. It's a song before this. It's like near the beginning. And let's see. Think of another plug while you're doing that. Holy shit. I plugged everything. Okay, onepeoplesproject.com for the August 24th action. And check out infidelguy.com's archives and FullGospelRanch/Rev Bookburn audio archives, because pretty soon we're going to have shows available all the time, not just while they're broadcast live. This is Country Joe and the Fish doing the Harlem song.
Glorious. Breathtaking. Spectacular. Relax in the grandeur of America's yesteryear. Harlem, land of enchanting contrasts, where the romantic past touches hands with the exciting present. First, the pleasure of being received with warmth and genuine hospitality. Then, the easy adjustment to the comfort and style of superb meals, exotic beverages, colorful entertainment, and dynamite action. Doing all the wonderful things that wonderful vacations are made of. And wonderful savings, too. Yes, come to Harlem, the happy meeting ground for families with large wants and small budgets.
The colorful Harlem in New York City. Come treat yourself some Ritz and barbecue. Bring the family to Harlem in New York City. And if you're looking for the action, this summer is your chance. All the back walls just dying. Watch you sing and dance in carefree Harlem. That's New York City.
How to do, man? I ain't feeling so good, you know. Well, I was sitting around the house, you know. Me and the old lady sit down, all ready to have a good meal of watermelon and hominy grits. We all sit down and they're showing a whole bunch of reruns of the famous Nandy show, you know. Yeah, well, the TV blew out right in the middle of the program, man.
Yeah, well, what'd you do then?
Well, what does it look like I did, man? I came outside and run into you.
Well, I'll tell you, everything is blowing up these days. TV, you know, it's kind of rough.
Yeah, they even made a movie out of it.
Yeah, they call it
Blow Up. Well, it looks like I'll be shuffling off, you know.
Harlem in New York City. Wow, wow. There's thrills and chills in the land of rhythm and blues. Bring the family to Harlem in New York City. Wow, wow. Come have fun in the sun, doing what the black folks do. And every little piccaninny wears a great big grin, just hanging round waiting for some white folks to drop in. But if you can't go to Harlem, that's New York City.
Wow, wow.
Maybe you'll be lucky and Harlem will come to you.
Go up.
Okay, gonna play a track by Crucifix. Oops, not Crucifix, Crucifix. From their Annihilation CD. Wrong, Annihilation is just a song. Dehumanization CD by Crucifix. This is Reverend Bookburn. It's going overtime at RadioVolta.org. and now on FM radio at WPEB FM Philadelphia 88.1. And so these are all songs with no bad words. Since we crossed 11 o'clock, this is Crucifix from the Dehumanization CD doing Prejudice. Okay, going to play a track from a forthcoming CD by Paul Krasner. Paul Krasner's next spoken word / comedy CD, his fifth, will be called Irony Lives, and he sent the Reverend an advanced copy. The CD is from a live appearance, and at that appearance he was introduced by the guy who does the voice for Homer Simpson. And Fox TV owns that voice, so they decided they had to hear the whole CD first. And of course, when they heard Paul Krasner's CD, they decided we're not going to permit the use of Homer Simpson's voice, even though the real guy consented to it. So that made Fox TV runner-ups to Asshole of the Week 1 week. But you can hear the band introduction at Paul Krasner's website, paulkrasner.com, Paul K-R-A-S-S-N-E-R, and a lot of people have hit there to hear it. So his fifth CD is Irony Lives, and that's what this next track is from. His latest book is Murder at the Conspiracy Convention and Other American Absurdities, introduction by George Carlin, and that's from Barricade Books, barricadebooks.com. This track from Irony Lives is called The New Normalcy.
Now they're talking about the new normality. And it's true, everything does evolve. I mean, for example, looking at your shoes in the airport. I mean, that's the new normality. And that didn't happen until after this guy, Richard Reed, was trying to light the fuse coming out of his shoe. And this is proof positive that not smoking cigarettes can save your life, can save a lot of lives. Because I remember a time when there was a smoking section in the airplane, and it was like they say from rows 1 through 19, and then from row 20 and back was the non-smoking section, and they had these little blowers to blow it over, you know, into the non-smoking section. You know, it's sort of like pretending that acid rain in this country won't cross the Canadian border. But here's how dumb that guy was. He could have just gone into the bathroom and lit his shoe. I mean, because he was lighting out there, there's no smoking. Obviously, the flight attendant is going to be suspicious. If they're still allowed smoking, then he could have gotten away with it. But why didn't he go to the bathroom? Because he was just drugged out on prescription drugs, the same ones that Jeb Bush's daughter Noelle was taking. In fact, if you look carefully, they were separated at birth. They both had that droopy-eyed, glazed look, the new normality. What it means is that there are still heroin dealers in New York, but now they're selling a brand of heroin called Twin Towers. There are now drive-by striptease joints. Drive-by striptease joints. You just take your car and, I guess, pass a window and put in quarters and then go on your merry way and get the Kentucky Fried Chicken. There are now still people on reality TV shows eating rats. I remember when George Orwell wrote 1984 and people were afraid of rats. Now they're eating them on TV. Is that progress or what? I mean, we're just so... It begins with a D. Not despicable, not degenerate. Not dissolute, no. It's, debauch is close to it. Depraved, sort of like that. When you have so much luxury. No, we already eliminated that. sounds like debonair. No, it's not debonair. Decadent, yes, here for decadent. God, I think I lost some chromosomes along the way. Damned chromosomes, that's what it stands for. But here's how decadent we are. There are now at least 23 brands of Kleenex, each with a different pattern. They now have electric toothbrushes that give you a warning signal when you've been brushing your teeth for 2 minutes. You know, so you don't overdo it, I guess, and get bleeding gums. What did they do before civilization? They now have computer printers that can print out 16.7 million colors. You know, I mean, I don't use more than about 3 million myself. I can't even name the primary colors. So they're still... A nutritionist and health expert saying you must drink 8 glasses of water a day, at least 8 glasses. Is there anybody here who drinks 8 glasses of water a day? Not one hand. One hand. Do you really?
Yeah.
And do you urinate 8 times a day then? What? Oh, you got to go now? But see, that's the paradox of it all. If on one hand they say you should drink 8 glasses of water a day, on the other hand they say if you urinate 8 or more times a day, then you have overactive bladder, it's a lose-lose situation. The new normality is priests admitting that they molest the children. I don't understand why the bishops and cardinals who covered this up, why aren't they charged with aiding and abetting crime? Let them eat altar boys. I used to belong to a conspiracy club. Each week we would get together, a bunch of us.
He's a good boy. Working class white male loves violence and his dumb girlfriend too.
And that's enough to make me. That's enough to make me sick.
I am white prostitute. You're black instead of white, and you gotta be like me if you want to be free in my world. In my world. Yeah, I can't believe what you.
Okay, gonna print. We're just talking to Marlon, who posted at the Reverend Bookburn page. He responded to the white power guy who said that everybody's anti-racist doesn't know how to use soap. So, if you want to see it, you can see Marlon the Engineer's response at fullgospelranch.com/RevBookburn and in the message boards where Marlon has responded to the white power dude. And I'm going to play a song from the Rock Against Racism album. This was the early punk and reggae bands of the late 70s in England. doing Rock Against Racism concerts, and this album has a lot of great stuff on it. It's always hard to choose what to play from it, but I'm going to play, of course, the loud and raucous song from this that I like so much. This is Stiff Little Fingers at one of the Rock Against Racism shows doing Law and Order.
Get it down.
Okay, you heard Santana doing El Nicoya. Before that, Stiff Little Fingers did Law and Order from the Rock Against Racism album. Phil Oakes did There But For Fortune. Propagandi did White, Proud, and Stupid. Paul Krasner did The New Normality. Crucifix did Prejudice and started off with Country Joe and the Fish doing The Harlem Song. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight's theme is tribute to anti-racist action. And I'm going to play a live version by Spiz Energy of an early hilarious punk song. This was redone in 96, and this is a live version of... Oops, where am I? This is a live version of Where's Captain Kirk? Any second.
Clear Channel uses one DJ to record the local broadcast for dozens of stations around the country. Can you believe it? Want to hear more?
That was Piccadilly Circus with Love Me Till Your Souls Wear Out. It's 98 degrees here in Tucson. Could you believe that traffic jam down on East Stevens Avenue? It was... That was Piccadilly Circus with Love Me Till Your Souls Wear Out. Wow, it's a cold one today, folks. Only 31 degrees here in Nome. Better cover up your gardens. We don't want a frost like we had last year. Boy, what a downpour last night. We've really seen in Portland. It's a smog warning today for us here in Los Angeles, man.
I was just getting... What a great beach day. I'm going to take my swim trunks and head down to Cape May. Boy, oh boy.
Listening to Clear Channel means you're putting local broadcast talent out of work. Want to learn more? Visit StopClearChannel.com or PrometheusRadio.org today.
Okay, you heard the Dicks doing No Nazi's Friend. And before that, DOA did General Strike and Race Riot. And before that, Spiz Energy did Where's Captain Kirk? This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, going overtime at RadioVolta.org, and now relay broadcasting at, or rather, broadcasting simultaneously on Philadelphia FM Radio, WPEB 88.1 FM in Philadelphia. And I'm going to play a track from the Rodent Propsicle Records label in Boston from year 2000. And I thought this would be appropriate considering the theme. The band is called Class Action, and the track is called Stop Making Punk Rock Suck.
Killer, fag, pimp, punk rocker,
weird, pervert, homo, degenerate, whatever the fuck it is. I mean, come on. You want something like that around here anyway.
This is the anniversary of the firefight that occurred at Oglala Village on the Pine Ridge Reservation, 1975, which, according to the official histories, two FBI agents were murdered by Leonard Peltier. That's the official incantation, although, as I indicated, even the prosecutor is no longer prepared to say that he believes it's been established that that occurred in that fashion, that Leonard indeed murdered anyone. And often forgotten, a member of the American Indian Movement by the name of Joe Stuntz Kilsright was also killed. They convened an investigation, unprecedented in its intensity in the history of the FBI, to investigate what they called the reservation murders, and that meant the two agents. Nobody ever investigated the death of Joe Stuntz, who was buried alongside another casualty of the counterinsurgency war that was conducted against the American Indian Movement and traditional resistance of the Oglala Lakota on Pine Ridge Reservation during the mid-1970s, Anime Aquash. Both are buried on the Jumping Bull property where the firefight occurred. So before going further, I'd like to ask for a moment of silence in respect and memory of those two fatalities and the well over 60 other American Indian people who died during the course of that counterinsurgency campaign in 3-year period, 1973-76. We have to remember those who have struggled and sacrificed. We have to remember where it is we've come from in order to understand where it is that we find ourselves, where it is that we are. And only in understanding where we are can we plot a course to a better future for our coming generations. These things are connected. And it's that understanding that motivated Leonard, it's motivated others, and has to do with the formation of his case. Because Leonard Peltier is not simply a political prisoner, although he is that. Leonard is a prisoner of war. He is a prisoner of the longest ongoing war in this hemisphere. Mention was made by Christian in his introduction of the struggle having at this point lasted a little over 500 years. That's 500 years of conquest, colonization, and genocide. It's also 500 years of consistent resistance on the part of those who were targeted for that. I've been asked to explain the case of Leonard Peltier, to contextualize, to establish a frame of reference to allow not only the specific situation, but its significance. Not only to Leonard and those close to Leonard or to American Indian people, but to everyone. And in order to do that, I really need to go at two lines of history that feed into the particular event that occurred on June 26th and the outcome, which is Leonard being where he is. Each of these lines of history could in themselves encompass not only a lecture, but a whole series of lectures. I've devoted entire courses to both lines. So I'm going to have to try to summarize in a very cursory or thumbnail fashion to try to draw out the interactivity of these things and to make them relate to other people, because they're not simply Indian issues. They're not simply American Indian movement issues. They're not simply any specific group's issues. They are issues that impact, have ramifications for every single individual, not only, I would argue, in the United States, but given the United States' ability at the present time to project itself, impose itself as a dominating force in the world, it affects ultimately everybody on the planet. And I don't believe I'm overstating the case, but I'm going to try to draw this out. It's going to take me a while in some sort of a coherent sense. And then maybe we can have some interaction, a little bit of rough and tumble, get into things that I'm going to necessarily, in the course of trying to collapse this into very compact parameters, gloss over, miss, things that are of interest to you, or things that are left unclear. So the first thing, I'll take the first things first, and the first thing here is the first people. The people who were here, on this land, in this hemisphere, on that day, 500 and almost 10 years ago, on the 12th of October, 1492, when a lost Italian seaman flying the flag of Spain washed up in a beach in the Caribbean, half a world away from where he thought he was, and got himself known as the Great Navigator. Yeah. The outcome of that process. The outcome of that process in the area of North America, referred to as the United States, is that the original people's holdings, the first people's holdings in terms of real property, that is to say the land, been reduced by an official estimate 98.5%. Actually, it's closer to 97.5%. The population also, realistically speaking, is reduced during the same period of the geographical expropriation by 97.5% as well. The net holdings in aggregate of Native North America within the 48 contiguous states portion of the continent comes to about 50 million acres. Now, there's a certain irony or set of ironies that are embedded in this. First off, 50 million acres divided by the 2 million odd Indians that the federal government acknowledges as being such comes out to 25 acres per Indian, and 25 acres per Indian makes Indians, on a per capita basis, the largest landholding group in North America, despite the massive expropriation of property, still today. And within that 25 acres per Indian, in its aggregation to 50 million acres, you find two-thirds of what the United States of America today claims as its domestic uranium reserves. You find roughly 25% of the readily accessible low-sulfur coal. You find 20% of the oil and the natural gas. You find such bauxite as is mineable in North America. You find copper. You find iron ore. You find industrial-grade diamonds. You find a whole list of mineral resources. You find renewable resources like the last virgin timber stands, 50% of the salmon harvest in the Pacific Northwest. Preeminent water rights throughout the arid West, where the entire population of Southern California at least seems to be moving all of a sudden. All of that in dominant society terms can be equated. Those estimates can be computed on the basis of dollars. The uranium's worth so much in its estimated quantity. The coal is worth so much in its estimated quantity. The gas, the oil. Keep on checking it off down the list. And when you're done, you have a column of figures. Add them up. And whatever the total is going to be, you've got to divide that total by those 2 million Indians again. And what you end up with, regardless of how you do the computation, is a population group that is the richest on a per capita basis in all of North America. That, again, is right here, right now, today. How many of you in the room know a rich Indian?
Okay, that was Ward Churchill from a new CD called In a Pig's Eye, Reflections on the Police State, Repression, and Native America. Ward Churchill's In a Pig's Eye is on Alternative Tentacles label, alternativetentacles.com, and also distributed by AK Press, which is at akpress.org. The tracks were The Anniversary of Pine Ridge, A 500-Year War, and The Richest People in America, and the very, very beginning of Or the Poorest. I'm going to play from a Benefit 7-inch that came out a few years back. It's a benefit for the organization known as Food Not Bombs. One side is by capitalist casualties, and the other side has two tracks by MDC and Hill. We'll play both. So by MDC, the first track in this Food Not Bombs benefit record is Bombs Not Food, and the second track is Nazis Shouldn't Drive, and that is, of course, a reference to English Nazi organizer within the National Front and band member of the English Nazi band known as Screwdriver, Ian Stewart, after he got into a car accident and died. So it's actually pretty funny that they did the song, and they did it live in front of a bunch of Nazi skinheads before. And so there's all this written text about it that comes with this benefit record. So we're going to hear MDC, Bombs Not Food, and then Nazis Shouldn't Drive. In response to the death of Ian Stewart of Screwdriver in the National Front. And the latter goes out to my friend Daryl from OnePeople'sProject.com and all of those who are going to be in D.C. for the anti-racist action on August 24th. Here's MDC. Play.
Join the Marines! We want privilege, looting your rights. Jordan and his team of losers, losers swallow losers soon. People won't believe their lies, the lack of dishonor, things don't die. Food not bombs, food not bombs, food not bombs, food not bombs.
You heard MDC doing bombs, not food, and Nazis shouldn't drive. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight's theme was tribute to anti-racist action. And please remember to go to onepeoplesproject.com and aranet.org and the new Reverend Bookburn page, fullgospelranch.com/revbookburn. If you want to write to me and get the playlist or anything, reason, right? RevBookburn@FullGospelRanch.com. Next Sunday night, August 18th, at RadioVolta.org and InfidelGuy.com, Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy. Going to play one more track, maybe two, or probably one, from the Anti-Racist Action CD, Stop Racism, and then Derek's show will begin. Good night.
A place where there isn't any trouble.
Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto?
There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.